You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I'm not sure if all of you are familiar with the work of Bradley Doolittle. Not David Blow, Bradley Doolittle. Well, he put a story out on ESPN Plus today. He ranked all 30 major league teams going to spring training, the projection of how many wins, the playoff percentage likelihood, and the title percentage likelihood. So he has the Yankees as the fourth best team in baseball. He projects them to win 92.6 wins. Playoff probability, 79.9%. 8.2% title. So 92 wins would be 10 more than last year. The Mets he has at 16. He projects them to win 80.5, 33.1% playoff probability, and a 0.5% title probability. Now, I always have to really dance very gingerly around this because I will be labeled Yankee boy for my take, but I don't think the Mets have anything to be proud about the way they handled this offseason. You took the one thing with Steve Cohen that puts you above and beyond everybody else, your one great advantage, and you didn't exercise it. You can't tell me that if you went out and got Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, and you signed J.D. Martinez to be your designated hitter, that you wouldn't be projected for 90 wins, 10 more wins. There's no way. You look at the starting rotation they have going into the season and what they've done offensively, which is nothing. They are derelict in their duty. This is a man who bought the team and said he was going to win a championship within 5 years. This is year four. They ain't winning a championship this year. And everybody keeps, well, there's a plan. Well, what's the plan?
Well, but I think you're being overly harsh. Because he also, in the same press conference when he bought the team, says he wants to build up the minor league system. He wants to be able to build something that can last and sustain. You know, he went for it last year with the signing of Verlander and the year before with Scherzer. It certainly didn't work out. And I tell you what, Michael, it aged very well because Verlander's not going to be ready for the start of the season and Scherzer looks cooked. So I think the fact that they were able to trade.
Well. Getting them didn't age well.
Well, no. But also the fact is you were killing them. Why didn't they keep them and try to go for it last year? And look how that would have been a disaster. They probably wouldn't have made the playoffs. And now they'd be stuck not being able to move these guys who are hurt and getting older.
But would you admit, Don, that they have a $310 million payroll? They're projected to win 80 games.
Well,
that's an
stuck.
Epic fail.
No, but they're stuck. But what they're trying to do is trying not to have it happen again. Now, they've signed some one-year deals because I think they're really gearing up for next offseason when there are going to be a lot more free agents, better free agents. They can be more in a position to get Soto. They went for Yamamoto. They didn't get him. Because Yamamoto would have been somebody that would have helped this year and beyond. But I don't think they want to dance with the Blake Snells and giving him long-term contract when you know he's not a pitcher that's going to give you a ton of innings and there's flaws there. I think they want to put themselves in a position. They've rejiggered up now with Stearns to say, all right, we're going to do what we can this year. The guys they signed are low-risk, short contract guys, so they could be in a position to retool and use the strength of Cohen in the offseason going into 2025. So it's not a dereliction of duty.
Yes,
it is to you that feels like you got to try to buy every championship or have to be competitive every single year, no matter what it does to your future. But I think he made the mistake. He corrected it. He used his wealth. wealth to be able to trade and get out of the deals with Scherzer and Verlander to be able to strengthen his minor league system by being able to deal those guys. And now not making the same mistake and being in bad contracts or contracts that might help them this year but hurt their chances of getting the big free agents next offseason.
Oh, okay, but are you really doing that? Because here's the way you're looking at it. So last year for the Mets was an epic failure, all the money they spent.
Yes.
Well, we would agree with that. The year before, they won 101 games on the strength of him spending money, going out and getting Marte and Escobar and Scherzer. So it worked. One year it didn't work. When you lost Edwin Diaz before the season even began, right, and that crumbled the bullpen. So now you're giving up on trying to outspend people?
But outspend them on what?
I mean, but the Wilpons could be doing what he's doing right now.
No, but you're making it seem like that they're not going after who?
But okay,
like they went after Yamamoto, they had no shot at him. They didn't go after Ohtani, they had no shot at him.
Okay, but what's the length of the plan? When do you, they keep saying, well, we expect to go for it next year, okay?
Yeah.
2025. Blake Snell would be a 5-year contract. Why Jordan Montgomery, did they be available next year and you could actually make the playoffs this year? JD Martinez would get a 1-year contract. So it doesn't make sense.
And that still may happen,
doing,
by the way. That still could happen. There's talk that might end up happening.
But are you okay with what they did
Listen, but you listen, I would like to see a better 2024, but if it makes them in a better position to get Juan Soto and the other big free agents and then the next offseason, then I can live with that.
But my point is, Don, with his money, you could still do both. So they've just abandoned
the money
aspect of it.
I don't know that. I mean, you say that you made it seem like they don't have a plan. I think they do have a plan. And the plan is, we'll see what they can do this year. I still think it's overrated that they've got no chance to compete. Quintana stays healthy. Severino might be able to find some lightning in a bottle there. Senga, you saw in the second half of the season, he finished 7th in the Cy Young Award. You know, I think you can get a monster year out of Alonso. You still have Lindor as your shortstop. I think Alvarez can have a breakout season at catcher. You still have Nimmo. You still have McNeil. I mean, there's still pieces in place that, no, they're not going to win 100 games. They're not going to compete with the Braves in the division. But it could be a fun, interesting season. And now they can really go out there and spend big and compete to get Soto and the other guys and build something really special.
It's just really funny to me, though, because we get Yankee fans who call up and they want, you know, the payroll's at $300 million. It's a little bit lower than the Mets, but it's at $300 million. And they want, you know, go out and sign Snell and go get Chapman to play third base. They want him to spend. We have not heard any Met fan show any kind of anguish over the fact that the one advantage you have over the other 29 teams is an owner that's worth $20 billion and you've decided to move away from it.
But what? But what are they going to spend it on? You even admitted Blake Snell probably is not worth the money that he's asking for.
I get it, but you know what? He's better than most of the pitchers on the Mets staff.
But now I'm locked into Snell, who might not be what you expect him to be, takes a downturn after winning the Cy Young, has to come out in the middle of the 5th inning every outing, and now I put myself in a position where I can't go after Soto because I've spent money to try to make something happen in 2024.
How about Matt Chapman? Is he better than Brett Beatty?
Well, I mean, I think they believe that Beatty could still be.
But he can't be a good,
really good
defender. He's not a good defender. Matt Chapman's a platinum glove winner. So, I understand what they're doing, Don. You don't have to convince me that. They have a long-range plan. But you know what? They've had a hodgepodge of plans since he bought it.
Well,
Waiting for David Stearns and then firing a manager that shouldn't have been fired.
Well, I'm not going to defend that.
Him.
I'm not going to defend that. But I do believe that he went in there, he spent the money, made a mistake, used his money. What I would say to a Met fan that say he's not, you know, using his money, he used his wealth to be able to get something out of Scherzer and Verlander. There's probably no other owner would have eaten as much of those contracts to get those deals done.
That's
and
true.
And did bring in some young players. So I know everything is based on the free agents that you sign that you're spending money. He was able to get something out of Scherzer and Verlander. And it would have been a mistake to try to keep him and go for it in 2023, because then you'd be stuck, because neither of them would be able to start the season this year. Is Scherzer going to be ready for the Texas Rangers? Verlander's already got problems in Houston. So I'm happy they got out of it. It is frustrating. I hate taking a knee, but I do think it could be still a fun season, a competitive season. And if this team goes out there and, you know, finishes, you know, with 80 something wins, and then now they've got the chance to maybe give Pete Alonso a contract and go after Soto, then it could be a really big time deal in 2025.
It's just interesting. They want to be the Dodgers East, but the Dodgers are doing what the Mets were doing and spending money to win at the same time. The Mets, I mean, you said it. I'm not using that phrase. They're not really trying to win this year. If they squeak in as the third wild card, that would be miraculous, but they're not trying to win.
I wouldn't say they're not trying to win. I think they're just being very frugal in the sense that they want to make sure that nothing messes with the plan of the 2024 offseason leading into 2025.
But that's my point.
The money and room will be there.
But did you ever think you'd use the word frugal and Cohen?
Frugal's probably the wrong word. I mean, fiscally responsible, I guess. I mean, Stearns has a plan, and I like the fact that Cohen, he's waited for this guy. I hope it works out. That he waited for this guy, strategically waited for him, and is allowing him to build that team. And he's probably telling him, listen, we can go for it with some of the free agents that are here. It's probably not going to result in a championship. It can really do some harm in us being able to really give a competitive contract to Soto. It might really damage our chances if we decide to keep Pete Alonso. So maybe they put themselves in a situation, Michael, where they're competitive enough not having to trade Alonso, or maybe they're not trade Alonso and have a chance to re-sign him during the offseason.
And you
want to put yourself in the best position to do that.
But I get everything you're saying. But with Steve Cohen, why can't you do it all? Why can't you have a $400 million? Wasn't that the big fear of everybody when he was allowed in baseball? Well, I think the fact, even if you have $20 billion, which he has, right? From what I've heard from people inside baseball, you know what he lost last year? You know how much money he actually lost? $300 million. Even billionaires don't like to lose $300 million. So I think he's shying away from it a little bit. Because with the money that he has, his independent wealth, Don, you know what? He could sign Pete Alonso and Soto and Snell and Montgomery. But they've decided to go a different way.
But you've said many times, Michael, when defending the Yankees not having a larger payroll, they can go above and beyond if they want to. They don't have to have the payroll they have. They could spend another $100 million if they wanted to. But you talk about how it hurts you internationally with your money. It hurts you in the draft.
But he never cared about that the first 3 years. Well,
but he got burned by it. And again, this is not a huge free agent crop. They were in on Yamamoto because that made sense. I can understand you arguing about it if they weren't in on Yamamoto.
Would Jordan Montgomery make them better?
He would make them better in the short term, but would it make them better in the long term?
It would take a five-year contract to sign him.
I don't understand why this works out in baseball. I mean, it really takes the fun out of being a fan, right? And I'm talking about my team who's got a guy that can spend. So it's just about going out and just outspending everybody else and having a huge, humongous payroll more than everybody else, and that's the only way to win? And we see time and time again that doesn't ever end up working anyway. Why should they? They should have to overpay for Montgomery, overpay for Snell, overpay for J.D. Martinez just because I happen to be the richest guy in the sport? Is that smart?
That's what they did with Scherzer and Verlander.
And they overpaid
for both of them.
And it didn't work, did it?
It worked to 101 win season.
Yeah, and then you
faltered. So you pulled the plug after one bad
year? With them at the end. And then what ended up happening the next year?
After 1 year. So you have one bad year. So the Yankees should change course because they won 82 games last year?
I can't believe you're killing them for a boarding. Good thing they did. Verlander's not ready. Scherzer's shot.
No, I'm not saying what they did last year. It turned out to be right. But why now? Why are you stopping spending money now? Why?
Because you're not spending it wisely on this crop of free agents. The two guys that weren't in on Soto because they didn't have the prospects to trade for Soto. All right? They obviously don't believe Snell's worth his money, that Montgomery's not worth his money. You also agree with that. And they were never going to get Yamamoto, and they weren't going to get Ohtani, but at least they were in on Yamamoto. So he was willing to spend his money, just Yamamoto didn't want it.
But I love the fact that they were in on Yamamoto because he's 25 and it would be a 10-year deal. So how long is this plan, Don? If you sign Montgomery to a 5-year deal, he's not going to be a viable pitcher by the time you want to contend?
But you've said to yourself, nobody else is touching this guy. And there's plenty of teams that have money because he's obviously not worth the money that he's asking for.
But we're just using that as an example. They've done nothing. They have done nothing. They've taken crapshoots on Manaea and Severino, guys that are hurt.
But they're not locking themselves into any long-term issues. If you catch lightning in a bottle, great. You have a terrific season. It could be fun. If not, these guys aren't going to hurt your chances of being really competitive in free agency. in 2025. I don't know why, because you happen to have the most money, that means you got to have $100 million payroll more than everybody else, and to throw it around it, you can't be smart and try to do the right thing so you don't lose draft picks, that you don't lose international money, and build something long-term. And you mentioned the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are competitive every year. They've got one COVID championship on going on 30 years.
But if you're a Met fan, you'll take what the Dodgers do. You take that kind of result every single year.
But,
you're not going to go to the playoffs in all likelihood this year with the richest owner ever.
All right, but that doesn't mean that I can't build something that's very viable that can last a really long time.
But you're building on a wish and a prayer. You're hoping
But everything's
that
a wish and a prayer. Free agency is a wish and a prayer. There was a wish and a prayer with Scherzer and Verlander. How did that work out?
It got him 101 wins in one year.
Yeah, got him 101 wins. You lose in four. You lose right away to the Padres, and then you completely collapse the next year because Verlander couldn't start the year. Scherzer is banged up, and I still think that there's enough here that they can be a fun competitive team. And I still believe that if all of a sudden now they are better than expected, then maybe they will be active to try to go out and make a trade and bring somebody in to try to see it through, but not at the expense of hurting free agency in the following offseason. So there is a plan. You may not agree with it, but there is a plan. And I'm a Met fan that benefits from all of the spending, but I just don't – I hear from Yankee fans too. I just don't – so you got to buy the championships. You spend all the money you have. Why not build something sustainable? Build up a minor league system. Have guys come up that are affordable that can actually play real well. And then you could spend the free agency on guys that are really worth it. You know what? Juan Soto's really going to be worth it, Michael. If they put themselves in a situation where they've got the best chance to get him in the offseason, isn't that better long-term than maybe locking yourself in with Snell and Montgomery, overpaying for guys that you don't believe are worth it, and now putting yourself at a disadvantage to get Soto next year?
You shouldn't overpay for people that are not worth it, okay? But you should build a better team than you have right now, because the Dodgers have built a very incredible stout farm system. They can they withstand injuries, the whole deal. Their payroll is $330 million. They went out and got Yamamoto. They went out and got Ohtani. They went out and got Glasnow. They went out and got Paxton. I'm telling you, they spent over $1 billion. But you can do both.
But you said they have the farm system. The Mets are trying to build a farm system.
All right,
that's
so
as
but
good
don't
as the
you
Dodgers.
Don't your fans deserve to have a competitive team while you're building
your farm system? But I think they can be competitive.
Well, we'll see. That's where we disagree. I don't think this team is competitive right now.
But if the fan base knows that the team is not competitive, but that money is going to be used to make them that much better in 2025, I think the fans will get it. They'll understand. No. We thought they were going to win the World Series last year and had to go in and see the disappointment of a team finishing under 500. A fan base would rather know what to expect and be pleasantly surprised than have the rug pulled out from under them like what happened last year.
I almost feel like, from me on the outside listening to this argument, It almost feels like, Michael, you get frustrated that Mets fans are so much more patient and willing to give time to the Mets in spite of the fact that they've been given no reason to have hope over the years. The Yankees are consistently involved. They've won a championship as recently as 2009, and their fans complain at every single turn. That, to me, actually sounds like a source of your frustration.
Well, it's part of it, and I also know that Mets fans have been very quiet because when they got Cohen, you remember it, Peter, you were on the show, when they got Cohen, it was hallelujah. Wilpons are gone. Now we can compete with Steinbrenner and any big team. They're not competing this year.
But in one instance, they're not. Because I think there's a long-term plan than just spending like a drunken sailor. Like, that was the whole thing. Oh, be careful. This guy's going to spend like a drunken sailor. Well, drunken sailor is a pejorative term.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with Don on that. You know, I understand your argument, but I've had the terrible owner. See, the Wilpons were interesting. They were a terrible ownership group that did not spend. I've had the terrible ownership group that spends. Now, Michael, I've heard you often argue. People say you need this and that from an owner. All you need is an owner that's willing to spend. I've had an owner that was willing to spend before and did it stupidly. Don, it's the reason I wasn't upset that the Commanders settled on Dan Quinn. Because sometimes you want an ownership group who doesn't swing wildly, even if they have the money to do it. I get it's a different sport and the money's different in baseball. But I see what Don's saying, that there's a little bit of gratitude that rather than just chasing it and throwing over too much money to everybody, they're trying to stick with a plan.
Well, but again, you've changed plans three times in the 4 years you've owned the team. So the guy's an incredible businessman. I don't think he liked losing $300 million last year. That was out of his pocket. He lost $300 million. And
probably didn't.
And you know what? This is where people are misguided about the money. Because he's got so much money, he just came off of losing $300 million. So instead of panicking and trying to put together a Fugazi team that'll be competitive but not win a title to be able to earn some of the money back, he's willing to see this through, maybe lose even a little bit more money this year, knowing that at the end of the tunnel, it's going to really be a windfall, both financially and with wins and possibly championships. But nothing's obviously guaranteed. Now, he did pivot. He probably gave Lindor a contract he didn't need to, and it probably hurt. And he gave Scherzer and Verlander contracts that didn't work. But part of the money is he was able to buy out their contracts, be able to help out the minor league system by being able to trade the untradeable because he was able to use that money.
But
that's why I'm happy Cohen is here. The Wilpons would have messed this completely up by doubling down on the money that they spent, making the situation even worse, and digging themselves a hole they couldn't get out of. That's the difference between the Wilpons and Cohen.
But take a look at their offseason, Don. They swung for Council. They didn't get him. They swung for Yamamoto. They didn't get him. It's an epic fail on every single way.
I gave my argument, but obviously you want to pick apart them.
No. I hear your argument.
I mean, listen, I don't know what happened with Council. I don't know. Who cares about managers anyway? They don't have any power. You know, look at the money that they had to spend to get him. That's stupid money for a guy that didn't even win in Milwaukee. And they went for Yamamoto. But let's be honest. Yamamoto wasn't coming here. Otherwise, he'd be a Yankee. And they still were in trying to have the conversation because Yamamoto's part of a long-term plan. They don't think Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery is going to be part of a long-term championship plan. And I don't think that's that awful a thought. So all in to cosmetically make it seem like you're competitive this year, doing damage to the future.
You're
I like and respect the guy
future,
is like,
Don.
I don't care where, I've got a plan. It may not work, but at least it's a plan. You said they didn't have a plan. I think they have a very good plan.
But you would only be doing damage to your future if you went and acquired Juan Soto and used all the young players that you're building up your farm system. Spending money is not damage to your future when the money being spent is Steve Cohen.
But I just think there's something structurally wrong with a franchise that the only way they could be competitive is spend $100 million more than the team that's in second in spending money.
Well,
why can't you build a team that has the strength in their farm system and make shrewd deals.
But then how do you reconcile the Dodgers? The Dodgers have built the farm system that the Mets are dreaming of, and they have a $330 million payroll. So
well,
it's not like
they
can have a lesser payroll.
Because and it's obviously a destination for Yamamoto, and it's a destination for Ohtani. The Mets aren't the destination, I guess the Dodgers are. Well, I could throw the same thing back at the Yankees. Michael, didn't Aaron Boone say they're hell-bent on a championship? Then give Blake Snell the money. Who cares? You want to build it up? You'd obviously make your rotation better. Throw a ton of money at him. Bring back Jordan Montgomery. Throw a ton of money at him. No, because you're not going to do it because it's not smart. But the Yankees certainly have the money, so I'll throw it back at you. Why not have another $100 million to your payroll
because
if you're hell-bent on winning a championship?
Because their team is good enough to win a championship now if everything goes right. If everything goes right for the Mets, they can make the third wild card. With a $300 million payroll.
You're hell-bent on winning a championship. You might only have Soto for 1 year. Then why not throw more money? They didn't have a terrific offseason beyond Soto. They didn't spend a ton of money on free agents.
That's a pretty big guy to get.
But they didn't spend any money on free agents. They made a shrewd deal, and I congratulate them for it. But in a year where you're hell-bent to win a championship, then why didn't you go out and add more money to the payroll and throw money
they
at Snell
did.
To win a Cy
they
Young last year?
They added $32 million. Soto makes $32 million. They added $32 million to the payroll. And $18.5 million from Stroman.
So it's all right for the Yankees to be fiscally
anybody.
Responsible, but when the Mets do it, they're stupid.
But the Yankees
right.
are over $300 million too.
So but you're hell-bent on winning a championship.
And they think they have a team that can
win
a championship.
Well, they think they have a team that can win a championship every year, and they haven't.
Well, no.
And going on 2 decades.
The Mets are not good enough to win a championship this year. You know it. They're not.
I know it. And that's why I want to get to a point where they are good enough. And throwing money at bad contracts and long-term contracts at guys that are like, to me, isn't a way to build a long-term plan. I might end up being wrong. The Mets might end up being wrong. But I want to build a team that is the Yankees. They have tons of minor league talent, have good young players on their roster that are affordable, and can compete every single year. How do you think that happens when you've had the dreck that you had under the Wilpons for so long? He had to dig out of real bad management and real bad ownership. He tried to win right away. It didn't work, and he pivoted. Good for him.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this is going to interest Peter. Before we get to your phone calls, C.J. Stroud had a big week. So Sunday night, he attended the Super Bowl in the Kardashian suite. Then Thursday night, he was at Travis Scott's celebrity softball game. Peter, yep. You know who he left with?
I saw this moving around the socials.
My good friend Amber Rose, who I met at your wedding.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of it. Seeing a lot of chatter about it.
No thoughts?
No. I mean, listen, I'm seeing jerk, idiot Texan fans, which, by the way, what else would you be if you are a Texan fan? I'm seeing them say nasty things about how, like, their quarterback's going down the drain. She has no history of, like, breaking a partner that she was with. Kanye was already insane when she met Kanye. Her ex, Wiz, have a wonderful co-parenting relationship. He's done quite well in his life. So I don't know what they're talking about. People are just nasty.
Yep, people like to be
and nice. everyone goes, oh my god, dude, he's so young and she's 40. What's wrong with him? I would just say, have you met Amber? You'd figure it out.
Yeah, that's what you're hung up on. She's 40.
Yeah, ask anyone who came to my wedding. You get it. I promise you'll get it. Yes. And you don't even know her. She's the coolest chick ever. Let alone you meet her, you'll get it.
Raul in Pennsylvania. Raul.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Raul Sprouts.
What's going on?
There he is.
What's going on? I called 2 weeks ago. There he is. Hey, I have a take for Don.
Yes.
To describe this better, Don. If the Mets offer the Soto a huge amount of money next year, would that make you happy enough to convince you that this team will be better and eventually pass the Yankees in terms of success? Because I want to say something else. Because Carlos Beltran put it this way one time. He said, you know what the problem with the Mets is? It's that they complain and they worry too much about what the Yankees are doing. But they don't – and it's – I think that's the problem with the Mets sometimes, that they get caught up instead of competing with the Dodgers, you know, with the Yankees of the National League. You know what I mean? But would that make Mets happy, Mets fans happy? If they throw a lot of money to Soto, will that change everything?
Well, I mean, it will only change everything because he's a world-class player and he'd be on your team long-term. I wouldn't look at it as a success because they stole him from the Yankees, Michael. I think they want Juan Soto because he's great.
And now I also see that Steve Cohen has fiscal responsibility. He did not outbid the Dodgers for Yamamoto. And to just think he's going to take Soto away from the Yankees if the Yankees want to keep him, I mean, I guess he's done with the outrageous contracts with Verlander and Scherzer. Will he change again next year? Will that change again? We'll see.
Well, but I also think that he was probably reading the writing on the wall. He made a healthy offer to Yamamoto. I don't know if anything was going to bring him here. And I don't think there's anything wrong with just saying, all right, listen, this is getting ridiculous. This guy's never pitched in baseball before. I mean, how far are we going to go? But didn't he fly out to Japan? He did everything he could to bring him in. It didn't work.
Well, it's funny. I don't know if you saw Cashman was on with the John Boy crew. And he said, you know, we met with Yamamoto the first time. You know, after they had gone to Japan, we met with him in L.A. And we were sitting on a rooftop of this great hotel. And it was just a gorgeous night. And we said, we're competing with this. And then when we met with him in New York, it was cold and rainy. And we were hoping that he really wanted to be here and that wouldn't sway him. He said, but we couldn't compete with the climate in L.A. He said, if he didn't sign with the Dodgers, he would have signed with us. He said, that's how close it was. But sometimes, you know, location, 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 like in real estate, it's a big deal. You are where you are. If you want to live in Florida, if you want to play for the Heat, if you want to play for the Dodgers or the Padres, that weather will get you because you know it's going to be nice all the time.
Yeah. And also the proximity to Japan, I think, is important too. I think the Yankees had a legitimate shot, but I just feel like the Dodgers and the Dodgers have an historic franchise too. I know it's not the Yankees, but to a lot of people, I'm sure internationally, Dodgers are nothing to sneeze at. You know, I don't think they're going to go to Anaheim. Same weather, same market, right? They're not going to go to the Angels. The Dodgers are a destination for a lot of these players in Asia.
Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike.
Michael, Don, Peter, how you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. So I'm a diehard Mets fan. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm going to be at that stadium 45 times this year. I have no problem with what they did this offseason. Steve Cohen brought in David Stearns to set a plan and to bring this franchise from the ground up to what like the Dodgers are, example. I don't want them just to spend money on big names just to say they spend money if that's going to hurt them for next offseason. You know what the Dodgers did last offseason? They did nothing last offseason because they knew they were going to go after Ohtani Yamamoto. The Mets know they're going to go after Soto, try to keep Alonso, maybe get a Corbin Burns, maybe get a Shane Bieber. I don't want them spending money just to spend money.
You know why the Dodgers didn't spend last year, right? Because they wanted to reset the luxury tax. So the Mets aren't spending, but they're not resetting the luxury tax.
I understand that. But after this season, Verlander comes off the books. Scherzer comes off the books. A lot of money's going to come off the books. They obviously have a plan to next offseason.
You're a Met fan, right?
I'm a season ticket holder, yes.
Okay. So you're the person to ask. When Cohen bought the team, did you think things would be different? That he would be spending wildly?
The first two seasons, he basically did that, and it didn't work. So why do I want him to spend money on Blake Snell, who I don't want, by the way? Jordan Montgomery, who I don't want, by the way. Why do I want him to spend money just to spend money if David Stern's coming and said, listen, Steve, next offseason is the offseason. We're going to go after the big names. I'm not going to spend money. And you know what? As Don said, they have good players. I think they're going to compete for a wild card. And you know what? And if somehow they got into the playoffs, they got just as good a chance as anyone else, as we saw the Diamondbacks do last year. I have no problem with what they did. They have a plan, and that's all I can ask for as a fan.
And Mike, I don't know how you felt. Michael said, you know, spending crazily. That's why we were excited about having Steve Cohen. I think I was excited to have Steve Cohen because we weren't going to be a small market team anymore. And, yeah, he spent early. I think he wanted to make an impression early. For the most part, it didn't work. But he's not acting like a small market team. A small market team wouldn't have eaten the money on Verlander and Scherzer the way that they did. You know, a small market team wouldn't be able to put themselves in a position to go after the biggest free agents next offseason. So that's why I'm happy. It's not the Wilpons. It's not a small market team anymore. Now, if you're out there thinking, oh, great, we're going to have a $500 million payroll. We're going to buy up every single great player. Thank God we have Steve Cohen. I can understand you being disappointed. But I really don't think that was ever that feasible. His first press conference, he talked about wanting to build up the farm system. So I think this has been part of the destination. Stearns was his guy. Unfortunately, he was under contract with Milwaukee at the time. Sure, he's made mistakes, Michael, but he was able to buy his way out of those mistakes with Scherzer and Verlander, and you're going to see him be able to carry a big checkbook next offseason.
Chris in Port Jefferson. Chris.
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey,
Mike, I met you about 10 years ago at the Fan Fest. You took a picture of my son. You were so gracious and nice. I appreciate that. And, Don, you did a cameo for my son, Luke, a couple years ago, and he still talks about it.
Oh, cool.
And Peter, your ENN is must listen to. So you guys are great.
Thank you.
I just want to make a point about what Michael said. I think Steve Cohen had a plan. I mean, a lot of under-the-radar signings this offseason. He wanted to build up the Syracuse Mets. He wants to make that a strong asset moving forward, more next year than this year coming up. And I think that they're going to do different things next year. And we have to remember that every dime he spends, he pays double in tax. So if he signs Blake Snell for $30 million, he's paying $60 million. So those kind of things have to translate to what he's going to do moving forward this year.
Well, that's a fair point, Chris. But the reason he's in that tax bracket is because he spent wildly on Verlander and Scherzer. So he's changing his tune. Maybe that's a smart thing. But he's in that situation because of him. The Wilpons didn't leave that to him. He spent his way into the Cohen tax.
Oh, I can't defend
saying,
it.
One thing I'd like to clear up. I'm not saying go out and get Snell or Montgomery. There are 110 free agents remaining that played in the major leagues last year. There's got to be some out there that would improve the Mets. There has to be. You don't think Justin Turner got $14 million from the Blue Jays. $14 million. That, and for 1 year, Don, so it doesn't impact next year at all. You think he'd make the Mets better? Instead, they're going to go with Brett Beatty.
Well, because Beatty's their prospect, and maybe they like him.
All right, then how about Justin Turner as a DH? You're going to sink the whole DH into Mark Vientos.
But he's also somebody that they might believe in. I still think J.D. Martinez is a possibility for 1 year. And I would take him over Turner as an option at DH for a year. So the work isn't done here. But, yes, he wanted to leave an impression. I think we all agreed he probably overspent for Lindor. And, obviously, Scherzer and Verlander were a mistake. But thank God he's got the money that it didn't cripple him. Because you know what? Those bad signings would have scared the Wilpons off from ever doing anything again. You saw what happened with the Saberhagens and the Colemans and the Bonillas. It scared them off of free agency. They got timid. They got shy.
Well, I don't
and
know
they
if
didn't
it scared
spend
them off.
It.
They didn't have the money. They could. The difference between the Wilpons, they could not outbuy their mistakes.
Right, because they were being like a small market team. Cohen can outbuy his mistakes. That's also good that he's got a ton of money. He went for it early, wanted to leave an impression, thought he had a team, make a splash right away. Didn't work, and it didn't cripple him for a decade like it would the Kansas City Royals, like it would the Milwaukee Brewers, a smaller market team, a team that doesn't have a ton of money. Now he can do it, and he's pivoted, and now he's got a long-term plan. He's got the president of baseball operations that he's always wanted, and I guess we'll see who ends up being right at the end.
Let's go to Joe and Clark.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How's
hey,
it going
Joe.
Today?
How
there
you
he
doing?
Is. How you
yeah,
doing, Joe?
Yeah, what's up, man? I called you a lot of times. Michael, I agree with you 100%. I am so frustrated right now as a Met fan. I can't tell you. And it feels even worse than the Wilpons because I know the Wilpons had limitations because they had no money after the Madoff thing. It's just, Michael, the fact that I got to hear that he's given $300 million to the PGA Tour or whatever, the LIV Tour, and he's all the stuff he's building behind Citi Field. And then I hear on the same breath, oh, we have $4 million left to spend. Are you kidding me? That's good public relations. The Mets fans want to hear that when he's worth $20 billion. Are you kidding me?
What do you want to spend it on?
Don, let me just tell you this. Last year, Arizona had 84 wins to make the playoffs. You're telling me if we don't get J.D. Martinez and then add another pitcher, we couldn't be in it? I mean, we couldn't have a chance maybe to make the playoffs? I mean, this is a malpractice by what they're doing. Stearns, to me, is a small market guy. He comes from Milwaukee where they have, one newspaper. Here, it's totally different in New York. They're not going to stand for 3 years in a row of 71
well,
seasons.
That's not, and I agree with you. And if we're having this conversation a year from today, then you're going to be 100% right. But the feeling is a year from today, they're going to be spending more money, and they're going to be spending it on better quality players, better quality free agents that are available this year.
Right now, I don't trust Conan Discern. I don't trust
him. Well, I can't tell you then. I don't know. You don't trust him? I can't convince you to trust him. I don't know the man.
But
the plan, that seems to be the plan. That's what they're saying. The plan is that there's a better free agent class coming up next year. They're going to want to spend the money on that instead of locking themselves in to contracts that might prohibit them from going out and getting better players next year. You might be right. You might be right not to trust them. And if we're sitting here on February 16th, 2025, talking about how the Mets haven't spent any money, then everything that Michael said today will be 100% accurate. But right now, let's see the plan through.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Point. You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Let's go to Chauncey in Westwood.
I think the main reason why everyone is so excited that Michael was wrong rather than Don was right, what's the main reason Don was doing this? Not to prove himself right. He already knew it was possible. This was something he watched his dad do. This was to prove Michael wrong and everyone else listening who doubted Don the whole time. That's what makes it that much sweeter. We're very happy for Don, but we're very happy that Michael was put in his place.
It was humbling today. It was sobering. I shouldn't say humbling. Sobering. To realize how little
alarming.
I'm liked. But I don't know. Alarming. It's sobering that I'm not liked.
He made a point to say it's not about not liking you. It's a point that you didn't want to rally behind a teammate.
Which is so typical of you.
But okay, it is typical of me, but you think I was rooting against Don yesterday, Peter?
I didn't get that.
I don't. I said specifically, I don't think you were rooting against it, but then I heard from some other people who said that in the final moments when it was coming to an end, you didn't look happy.
Oh, really?
Please. Yeah. Show me the tape.
Also, I want everyone to know if you somehow missed yesterday's ENN. Tonight's ENN is going to begin with what I would maybe call an emotional look back at last night.
Okay.
Let's go to Will in the Bronx. Will.
Hi, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got a point for Don, one for Peter, and two for you, Mike.
Wow.
So I just wanted to say yesterday's show, Don, congrats. I never doubted you. Probably the best show live I've ever seen.
Wow, thank you.
Pete, glasses look great. And tell DJ Juanito to take it easy on you.
Oh, thank you.
And Mike, the book's awesome. I'm up to, I just finished the Larry David chapter, and I got about 80 pages left.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that Is there a hot stove tonight? Because you look fresh shaven right
now. Wow, you hear that?
You know, Will, you said some nice things, but maybe it's time for you to get a 4K TV. I haven't shaved in 2 days. If you'd like to hear
Maybe your facial hair is so unimpressive that he can't see it.
That could definitely be it.
How much? 2 day growth?
This is 2 days.
Wow, Peter, this is not going to happen.
Here, so let's listen. If I have ready.
Ugh.
First of all, the hair is light too, so it's not going to like burst out right away.
It's a
combination
it's not
of blonde and gray.
That is so sad.
So let me get this straight. You guys all think I'm not going to pay off the bet, right?
Well, I don't.
Then I won't. I'll shave right now. I'll shave on the air.
No. There's no rule that says,
Michael.
Yeah, there's no rule that says we're not allowed to doubt you.
Now, there is a segment of the population who probably thinks this was all strategic, but I just can't imagine that you're going to have anything that anybody's going to see by the time you're going to have to shave for opening day. Or the
I did think of one thing that I have to do, and I'm just going to have to do it with the beard. I'm hosting a charity event for a charity that Jody works with on March 1st, and I'm going to have to do it with a Pusick. I'll explain it as part of the emceeing duties.
But what we're saying, Michael, is we don't think you're going to have to explain anything.
Right.
By March 1st, you will see a growth.
Well, we'll see.
Matt in Manhattan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
Good, you?
I mean, I agree with you. Mets have done absolutely nothing. I mean, to be honest, since Cohen's been here, he's done nothing results-wise. But if you think the Yankees are one player away, I mean, you're crazy.
Who said they were one player away?
Well, you say you think they have enough to win the championship.
If everything goes great, but how often does everything go great? I mean, they're not. They might not even be the favorite to win their division. So everything's going to have to go perfect.
Everything hasn't gone great since 2009.
Right, it hasn't gone great for the Mets since 1986, has it?
Right.
Has it? No, it hasn't. Has it?
Oh no.
Well, got a couple of World Series appearances in 2000 and 2013.
2015. Know your team.
2013 was the All-Star game that Harvey started. I was there, Michael, so I knew.
I was with you.
And so they've been to a World Series more recently than the Yankees, but I'm not going to gloat because that's nothing to gloat about. Didn't win against Kansas City. Lost in 5 games. I'm trying to make up for the error for before.
That's all right. It's not like the error of calculation a couple of days ago. You rebounded nicely from that.
I think so.
You were victorious yesterday.
What a day it was.
Let's get a quick Mason in New Jersey. Mason.
Hello.
Hello, Mason.
I'm 11 years old. I'm from Saddlebrook, New Jersey, and I just wanted to call to say thank you so much for hosting the show and being such a big part for me and my dad's life, because whenever we listen to you guys on the radio, when we're hanging out, when we're together, it's just a great bonding experience. Thanks to you guys.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And
thanks
to Don, too. And Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Don't let the fans get in your head. I mean, you're a very big part of this show, and I thank you so much for what you do. I love you, Mason.
You sound like a very impressive young man.
Yes,
I'm glad that this is a bonding
good kid,
thing
this
for
Mason.
You and your dad.
This is so
articulate at 11. That's pretty cool.
As mature an 11-year-old as I've ever heard. I wish I appreciated the time with my dad when I was 11 years old the way that he did, or does.
He's more mature than 63-year-old me and 56-year-old you.
No question.
Yeah,
that was really impressive.
Can you imagine Don at that age, Michael? He would have been like,
"Oh, well, you mean California is a different
time, same everywhere."
No, see, I told you I was nine. By 11, I understood.
You nailed it, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Booger, favorite actor.
Well, listen, 11. In 1979, I wasn't aware of Curtis Armstrong's work.
The great
you were
work
afraid
of
boogers. You were definitely aware of boogers.
And I did. Yeah, that's the that
maybe.
Sound. Yeah, I was very aware of boogers, but not Curtis.
I break my brother's arm.
When did I become Arnold?
Leg, Peter, leg.
I break leg. He's like Bam Bam.
I was caveman boy.
Wow.
Neanderthal. Caveman 11-year-old.
Well, Mason, again, that was a very sweet way to end the weekend with the phone calls. Very cool.
Glad to be very proud.
And ENN's coming up in just a moment. Listen up. It's Michael K. When it comes to travel, nothing beats Legends Limousine. I felt the difference. Let me tell you, it's real. So my flight was delayed 3 hours yesterday. Got into LaGuardia about 1 o'clock, 1:10. And the guy from Legends Limousine was right there. So great. You can tell the difference. It's real. It really is. When my family and I need a ride to the airport or out of town, we choose Legends. Their commitment to safety makes every trip a breeze. These guys are not just any service. They've been setting the gold standard for over 30 years. I trust them. So should you. Call 1-888-LEGENDS. That's 1-888-534-3637. Again, 1-888-534-3637. And use the code ESPN10. That's ESPN, the number 10, to snag 10% off. Travel like a legend with Legends Limousine.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.